a Puerto Rican guy in a cock sock.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're looking forward to Convergence 2016. We talk about our schedules and our live performance, and we talk a little bit about safe spaces and vilification tennis.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Molly Glover.
That's me.
And we are here on what I want to call the eve of Convergence 2016.
It's Convergence Eve. I know we'll be going to the hotel tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's eminent.
Yep.
It's almost
imminent.
Here.
Did you say eminent? It's eminent, too.
It's eminent.
It's eminent, too.
It's imminent.
It's imminent.
So last week, at the end of the episode, I'm like, oh, shit, we're recording this, and it's going to go up, right before Convergence. And I was wrong. So, because I can't...
They're bad at counting.
I can't read calendars. It's clearly a problem. It's just a thing. So we have time this week to talk a little bit about the upcoming con, a little bit about what we're doing, and we thought we would tackle a couple of tricky issues, con running questions.
Very important.
That have come up in recent years.
Yeah.
That I think, and they're important questions and they're important issues.
But, I think it's like big con problems,
Big con problems.
A con gets to a certain size and the things it needs to worry about change, and it's easy. There are more voices, and some of those voices are loud.
And the question is, which voices do you listen to?
Yes.
And so we're all part of Vilification Tennis.
Yeah.
And we do a show at Convergence every year. And just a couple of things so the listener understands. This is what I would call our rock star show. We fill the 500-seat room, and we mostly fill the overflow room. Now, they've expanded the size of main stage, so this year is going to be 800 seats, and I don't know whether we're going to fill it or not.
I bet we'll fill it.
But
I think we'll fill it.
They turned people away from the overflow room last year.
Yeah,
but whether we do or not, I mean, the point is, people, a certain segment of this 6,000 first person convention really enjoys the hell out of the show.
They get in line. The show is at 10, and people get in line as early as 8:45.
Yeah, some people tailgate the line.
Yeah. And we don't know if that's going to happen this year because there are a lot more seats. But in any case,
who knows? Maybe there'll be people protesting the line this year.
Well, and that's what I want to get into a little bit in terms of whether or not it is appropriate to do something that doesn't appeal to everyone. And so the argument here that is being made by certain people that I've responded to online. Now, I respond very politely whenever anybody's criticizing vilification tennis. That's, I'm like the boss.
We all do, actually.
Yeah. I mean,
in fact, all of us, I feel like we all strive very hard.
Not Mark, but...
Well, Mark isn't really in.
We're talking about people.
We all strive very hard to make sure people understand that those are stage personas.
Right.
That is a show.
Right.
And that we are people who just happen to be exhibiting those traits when we're on stage.
Mm-hmm. It's Joseph Scrimshaw's joking envelope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the Convergence has also done a lot of anti-harassment stuff in the last couple of years, which I don't want to speak for all three of us, but I believe we all feel is a really good thing.
People shouldn't be harassed.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all agree on that.
Yeah.
That's fairly...
No one should be directly, personally harassed.
That's not a controversial thing to say.
No, no. Mm-hmm.
So the question is, the framing of the argument from the other side, recognizing that the three of us are on the side of the show. And the other thing I want to say about this show, we are a professional act, and we do this for free every year. Yeah. Not only do we do it for free, we all pay for our memberships at the convention.
We don't solicit tips. This is literally the only show where we are either not paid, but people are paying tickets to get there, or they're giving us tips.
So, or we've been paid to do it as a part of a corporate event or something.
So we are giving it to the... We are literally giving our talent to the convention.
Yeah.
And we get something from it, no question. Like I say, it's a rock star show. It's like you stand on that stage and you feel like the fucking Rolling Stones.
You know what I get from it, Tim?
What do you get from it?
An erection.
Yeah, well.
Weird, me too. I think I just get yours.
Yeah.
Or half of yours.
Right after
usually,
the show.
But that's something you usually don't get paid for, so it's not too different.
Just that one time.
Can I just really quick, you said something that I think is really important, and you said, is it right to do something at a convention that doesn't appeal to everyone?
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny about that is literally the basis of science fiction, fantasy, and geekdom.
Yeah.
Is doing something that doesn't appeal to everyone. And we are there because we like the things that don't appeal to everyone.
Yeah, and I was going to get there. And yes,
okay,
I agree.
Okay.
But with this anti-harassment and this encouragement of creation of safe spaces at the convention, there's the argument that because what Vilification Dennis does, I mean, we work in offensive material. You know, people talk about there is slut shaming in our show. Sure, there
we
is.
We are a trigger. It's not even about a trigger warning. We are a trigger.
We are a trigger to some people. So is the convention essentially engaging in a hypocritical act by allowing us to perform at a convention where they're saying, you know, we're going to do our best to create an anti-harassment space. We want to create a safe space for people. Is that counter to what the convention's saying? And obviously, well, I have my opinion, but
so I have three questions then.
Yeah.
Are people required to attend?
Mm-hmm. They are not.
Are people allowed to leave if they attend?
They are. Mm-hmm.
Are they warned before the show starts of the content of the show?
Dramatically.
Oh.
Tim's, so I want you guys to know, Tim's warning before the show, which happens before every show, whether you're at the BLBU, the Renaissance Festival, our corporate gigs we've done, Tim has a standard pattern that he does that warns people that those of you who are easily offended will be, and those of you who aren't easily offended will be. And you're going to hear the most offensive thing you've ever heard. This is an offensive show. We do offensive stuff. You've been warned. Here we go. And at Con, especially last year, that what used to be like a 3 to 4 minute intro was 10 minutes long because Tim was so careful and so over the top saying, like, this is, let me say this very clearly, this is your trigger warning. Like, we are going to make jokes about everything that you will find offensive. Like, this is it. Leave now. No one will, no one's going to make fun of you. No one will say anything bad. Like, those of you watching on the TV, everything else, like, you went over every eventuality and people were still mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can't do anything about that response entirely.
You can't control people's reactions.
You know, it sounds like this, you know, to hear it that way, it sounds like it was the most boring, long, dull.
No.
And it wasn't. It was really entertaining.
Those of us backstage waiting.
It's patter.
We know your patter. And so when we hear it expanded and we're looking at our watches and we're like, he is like fucking serious. He has taken 10 minutes to make sure that these people realize the next 50 minutes are going to be fucking offensive.
Because there had been talk about it before the con, and I was like, I want to make it really clear that this is what's going on. I don't want people to accidentally stumble into this. And I think what's interesting is the chatter against our doing the show at Convergence, in a lot of cases, fails to recognize how seriously we take our responsibility as comedians working across a line many people feel acceptable is acceptable. How seriously we take it that you know we talk about it, we talk about it constantly. It's something that makes a big difference. It's the reason that I made my disclaimer longer than usual. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the goal is to make it entertaining.
Which it always is. It's very funny. It's good patter.
You know, it was also the thing of, I want to make sure, because there was some complaints about they broadcast it on the TV, and you could turn on the TV in your hotel room, and, oh my God, my kids are hearing people talking about it.
You could also turn on a TV in a hotel room at any time and have Game of Thrones.
I know. Yeah. You could, But that and you know, knowing that, it's still like, I'm gonna make sure that what I say and Game of Thrones at the beginning of the show, don't they have a disclaimer?
A brief, like,
well,
you know, this show.
There's the MALV thing.
So there's a disclaimer, but then of course the show starts and you turn it on in the middle of the show.
Sure.
That disclaimer is long gone.
Yeah.
Right.
In the same way. And so it bugs me, but it's very odd to me. And I feel you know, we've talked, I think, I can't remember if we talked about this somewhere else, but I feel that there's an, as much as I absolutely, absolutely sympathize with the people who are looking for no harassment policy, with people who are mm-hmm. are talking about situations that can be triggering, and I, mm-hmm. I sympathize with all of that. And yet there is an entitlement that I feel is unmistakable when somebody says, I am not comfortable with this thing that you are doing, and even though I can choose to not see it, I object to the fact it even exists.
Yeah, I prefer not to even have to consider that it exists in my same sphere.
Even though other people find it entertaining, even though other people find it enjoyable, their enjoyment of a thing I'm not watching mm-hmm. is not okay with me.
I hate the smell of onions. I hate it so much that when I can smell onions, I can't think. I can go to a Mexican restaurant so long as immediately afterward I go home and take a shower and wash my hair and my body, because of the smell of onions.
And you too.
You have to too. We have to put our clothes immediately in the washing machine.
Yeah, I hate your smell too, Nick.
It drives me to distraction. I have a really hard time concentrating.
Stimulus overload.
It is. It's the one thing that I cannot tolerate. And so if I'm somewhere but if I'm like in a room and someone brings in Jimmy John's full of onions and stuff, I'm not going to be like, you can't eat in here. I'm going to leave. The only caveat I have with that is in my office, where I share an office with 8 other people. And when we all moved in there, I was like, okay, now that it's a closed room with a closed door, like, I'm just asking nicely. And everyone's really cool about it. Like, just don't eat onions in here. I don't care what we eat in here as long as it isn't onions.
Because you literally can't escape it.
Because I literally can't escape it, right. And it will be in there all day.
Yeah. Sure.
And that's not fair. Yeah. I can't work. But, move my workstation.
You have control
yes.
over that space.
Yes.
You have a right within control.
That space,
When having control of that space to set rules.
If someone is wearing a costume you don't like, let's say it's violent or sexual and you don't like it, you have your room or you have other places to go, and that person shouldn't be allowed to go to your hotel room, knock on the door and come in and be like naked and violent in your room. You know, it's a similar thing. But then there's this concept of public spaces. So when I was at work the other day, I was in the main lunchroom and I'm reading a book, and a guy sits down kind of next to me and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, this has onions, I'll move. And I'm like, no, don't worry about it, dude. This is a public space. Like, this is shared. You do you. Like, at this point, it's on me to move and go somewhere else. And I just think it's really similar. And I understand that with trauma, psychological trauma, you sometimes can't move. You sometimes can't express that you're having a problem. Anxiety can be so crippling that you just panic and clam up and you don't even know how to mm-hmm. say anything about that. But again, that it's very hard to figure out how. And we've had episodes about this before.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very hard to know about that about a person.
And I think right. if a person knows that about themselves, I feel like then there's a responsibility or agency for themselves where they have to be aware of where they're going or where they're hanging out or whatever, because they know that about themselves. Mm-hmm. The rest of the world can't read their mind and know what might be an issue.
Yeah, and it's very much, in this case, it's a situation where they don't even have to engage.
Right.
It's not mm-hmm. like they're in a public space where they're going to accidentally walk into vilification
yeah.
tennis.
Yeah.
They are choosing to go into that room and to stay, or choosing to turn on that television. And I even in the early days when they were televising main stage stuff, I said, I don't think you should televise our show.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because people don't have that same kind of opportunity for me to explain
yep.
it and
yep.
opt out. And the convention decided that since they're televising everything, they'll televise that.
Well, people were asking for it. People
yeah.
always want it. They want to be able to watch Ville 10 in their rooms.
Sure. And I think that's fine, but that's on the convention. That then isn't
mm-hmm.
on us.
Yes.
And it still comes back to the thing of, if you don't find it, it's comedy in general. Let's take the question of offensive. Let's take the question of slut shaming or fat shaming or anything that you find offensive because it's shaming a particular group of people. Let's just say you don't think Taxi is funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that Taxi the TV series is funny. Let's say, I'll use an example. I don't understand why people think Seinfeld is hilarious.
I
don't get it. I've watched enough of the show to go, nope, not my thing. But people love it. And it, does my not thinking that show is funny mean I have a right to say to other people, you don't get to watch that show because I don't believe it's funny, or I believe it's offensive in some way?
Yeah.
I think that The Real Housewives of Whatever is a show that is like sets a terrible example for human behavior and like has fairly awful people that glamorize like very negative aspects of humanity. And I don't watch the show. Molly occasionally has watched the show with her mom.
My mom and I used to watch it a lot.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
I'm not offended by someone else liking something that I find offensive. Even the mere
unless
existence.
It's Donald Trump. We got to be really clear about that. Unless it's Donald Trump.
He's not something.
That's a public figure. I don't think that.
Just barely.
Yeah.
Anyway. I find the show offensive. I do. Yeah. I don't think it should necessarily. In my ideal world, it might not exist, or there might not be a demand for it. Is actually more the problem.
Yeah.
I would say, but I don't. It does exist, and I don't get to control all those things or anyone who likes it or not, because it's a very subjective world, and so I get over it.
You know, another good example that I was thinking of as you were mentioning that, and that's a great one, but also Big Bang Theory.
Mm.
Nerds, geeks at science fiction conventions, many of the people who listen to this podcast, in fact, have a real issue with Big Bang Theory because they feel it's making fun of them.
There are times when being nerdy is the punchline.
Yes.
Yep.
It's a geek face.
The best example, and I think I might have said this before on this show, is that Nick and I were watching once, and the opening shot was the four guys were each on a computer, and they were all playing a game together, and the studio audience started laughing.
Uh-huh.
And we looked at each other, and I was like, I don't get what's funny. And he's like, I don't either. And we waited a little bit, and that was the joke, was that they were all in a room together on their computers playing a video game together. That was the joke.
Yep.
And I was just like, I literally don't understand what's funny about that. That's a very social way to play this game. Like, I'm very confused. That's actually less nerdy to all be in a room together and playing it than to be in your private separate basements. And like, I don't know, like it was just... And that's an example of that, I think, for sure.
And those criticisms are certainly fair. I still think the show is funny. I still enjoy watching it. And I still laugh at the nerd jokes, even though I'm a nerd.
Right.
You know?
You don't watch Big Bang Theory for the guys.
Yeah.
At this point. You watch Big Bang Theory for the women.
Because the
they're the way more interesting characters. And
they're the more realistic nerds.
They're not the butt of the...
But also the with Big Bang Theory and there are valid criticisms of Vilification Tennis.
Sure.
If you want to say, I think it's awful that they make jokes about, I'm probably going to write a joke about Anton Yelchin dying, and I'm going to try. I mean, I'm going to try.
Yeah.
And someone's going to be like, I can't believe they would do that. That's horrible. You're right. It is horrible. And there's people like it. And so that's okay. Like it's.
Literally no one's being hurt.
It can be awful and also funny, and that's part of life.
Laughing about it can be a way of coping with it.
There's all sorts of
humor,
stuff.
Humor provides catharsis when there's painful situations. So, I don't know, we're running out of time to talk about this, and we kind of need to move on to talking about what we're going to do at Convergence.
Yeah.
And one of the things we're going to do at Convergence is Vilification Tennis.
It's true.
Which is Friday night.
Yeah, it's Friday night, and I think the thing... that I feel is getting lost in this conversation is that it is okay to be offended by something.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely acceptable to be offended by something.
It happens to literally everybody.
Yeah.
but that is different than saying it is not okay for people to be offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways that are appropriate and ways that are inappropriate. And I think when a group goes into a room and says, we're going to do something that's a bit over the top, and you should be aware of that before we start, and you have the ability to go or not go, I do feel there's a sort of entitlement when you say, I am going to act as the judge over whether or not anybody else is allowed to enjoy this.
I forgot what I was going to say. It's you don't have the right to not be offended.
Yes.
And being offended doesn't mean you're being harassed.
Right.
Yes, those are two very important things to remember.
Finding something offensive doesn't mean you're being harassed.
And doesn't mean your rights are being violated.
Doesn't mean your rights are being violated.
Harassment is saying, I'm offended by this, to a person's face, and a person not removing themselves from the situation and continuing to do that.
Harassment is a person. Yeah, I mean, I feel like harassment is personal.
Yeah.
And, you know, harassment is being offended. Okay, so being offended is, you know, you're a queer person, you're in a room, someone tells a joke that uses the word faggot, you're offended.
Yep.
Being harassed is someone saying, hey, faggot, what are you doing to my comedy show? That's being harassed. Like, that is, I feel like that is the difference. Sure. Is the personal attention of it, the focus of it.
We don't insult the audience. They haven't consented to that. They've consented to watch a show.
We insult each other.
We insult each other because we've consented to that.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
So, that's interesting. So let's convergence.
Yeah.
If you're going to be at convergence, we are going to have badge ribbons.
Yeah. Two of them.
To give away, we have the soft version and the more in your face version.
The more in your face.
I like the soft version one.
I like the in your face one.
I know. I posted them both on a badge ribbon thread on the Convergence Facebook page, and the more in your face version is the one with way more likes.
By like
20% or something.
Mm-hmm. We got to save some for our godless asshole.
What are they saying?
One of them, the softer one says, I sleep in on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And then they both of these ribbons have the American Atheist logo and our logo. And then the other one says, you're goddamned right, I'm an atheist.
I just like that one.
I just think it's funny.
I like them both. Yeah.
I think it's funny. Yeah. So we'll have the badge ribbons. We have a live show.
Mm-hmm.
As is our tradition, because we started at Convergence.
Yeah, it's true. This is our fourth birthday.
Fourth birthday.
Yeah, that's crazy. We've been doing this 4 years.
Geeks Without God is Saturday, July 2nd in Atrium 6 from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m.
That's right. And our guests are Kelly McCullough, who is a former guest of honor of Convergence. He's a well-respected author and actually a childhood friend of mine. He and I used to play on the playground at St. Paul Open School when we were wee lads together. He posted something really thoughtful about humor. We're talking about comedy and how humor can help you process difficult situations.
Yeah.
And that was why I was like, you know what? This is a great excuse to get Kelly on the podcast. So he'll be there. And then Amanda Marcotte, who is a guest of honor of Skeptic Con. And she is a blogger, and we haven't decided. Her and I are talking about what she wants to talk about.
Yeah.
There are already 57 people who are saying they are going to attend.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
and that is great.
We also have this is our third annual, I believe.
The improv panel
that we do with Jeremy Stomberg, which this year is It's a Conspiracy, Cult Edition, All Hail Monlock, Monlock is Peace.
So the first year we did...
It's a Conspiracy.
We just did It's a Conspiracy that was conspiracy theories and woo and nonsense.
All improvised.
And then the next year was more of medical...
Last year the first year was conspiracy, like Illuminati, lizard people,
the
chemtrails.
The moon was hollow.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then second year was homeopathy.
Right.
And
chemtrails.
And naturopathy, like GMOs.
Right.
And this year is we have all joined a cult.
So
and we have all found peace.
My feeling is if you go to this, you're probably going to be leaving with a chant and perhaps some hand gestures.
I have a feeling you're going to realize how peaceful Monlock is and how you should hail him because Monlock is peace.
Yeah. So
that's exciting. That's a two on Saturday.
I'm going to go over a couple things for me. I'm actually super excited. I'm doing, all the things I'm doing. I'm doing, I think, 14 things this year.
That's, you win. I'm only doing 11.
If you count that we are, that we're doing a few things that are like they're panels still technically,
right.
But they're, I do a lot of, I have performance and then other things. This year is the first year I'm going to do Joseph Scrimshaw's Star Wars Databank Brawl, which is Star Wars characters, lesser-known Star Wars characters, and we have to figure out, like, I believe it's who would win in a fight. I need to learn a little bit more about it before we do it. But Nick and I are returning to be partners in Judging a Book by Its Cover, again hosted by Tim.
Yep.
We're taking down our rivals, Dawn and Jerry.
Again.
Oh, yeah, who will go down.
We will triumph.
I'm doing PowerPoint karaoke again this year because
which is on main stage.
Which is on main stage.
It is.
And
yeah.
Then
I am too, and I don't know who's presenting and who's judging.
Me and Cargill are presenting for sure. I know that. I don't know beyond that. I'm again doing Returning to the Killer Bees improv movie show, which is Friday night at 11:30. It's just super fun. Melissa Karcher puts together clips of really terrible B movies, and then a bunch of us do sound effects and dialogue and music. The movies are completely muted. All sound effects, dialogue, and music are done by us. And then I'm on the mega panel for the first time this year, which is a 2.5-hour panel that happens during Masquerade, where literally we talk about everything but Masquerade. So if you're interested in everything except Masquerade, mega panel is for you. And then finally, I am interviewing Joseph Scrimshaw for his Guest of Honor one-on-one. And I don't know what he wants us to focus on for that. That's cool. So I need to talk to him about that. But I'm very excited for that.
You don't talk. No, you don't. Don't worry about what he wants to focus on.
Well, no, that's what he asked me to do.
Oh, did
so,
really?
Yes.
Oh. See, when I'm doing one-on-ones, I just go and I look at, you know, what's all the stuff they've done, and I'm trying to find interesting and weird
stuff. He said he'll be in touch about how he wants it to go. So it's Joseph. I'm sure Joseph, he has a very funny idea.
He wants things to go the way he wants things to go.
Yeah.
That's one of those things that you learn about our dear friend, Mr. Scrimshaw.
I threw out a weird idea on the Convergence Facebook page earlier.
A few months ago.
Yeah, and CJ, Duck's wife,
yep,
said, hey, you know, I do Connie's Quantum Sandbox, like the craft
right.
activity
yep.
room. She's like, we would love to do this as an activity. Like, what do you think about it, and would you be willing to help out? And so Thursday night, the first night of the convention, from 10 p.m. to midnight, when the Quantum Sandbox is technically kind of closed, they're going to have a cardboard city set up. So it's going to be like a nighttime Quantum Sandbox event for adults and stuff. You can come and build a huge cardboard city in Connie's Quantum Sandbox.
Uh-huh.
And then the next morning, on Friday, July 1st, when the sandbox opens at 9:30 a.m., they're inviting children to come in costume to come in and destroy the city like kaiju.
That sounds so great.
Yeah. Little kids just going to be stomping around.
God, so I
think it's a really cool idea. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I
want super slow motion video of that. So
yeah,
bad.
Right? You want... And, you know, the pictures, I think it's a great photo op. I think, so if you're going to be at Convergence, you should, and I've never done anything in the sandbox, ever. Like, I've never, it's so popular, there's always a huge line.
I've done a couple of things. I made a voodoo doll once, and I've done a couple of things there.
The sandbox is pretty cool, and it's gotten more and more popular year to year.
Yeah.
They just do all sorts of weird, cool craft things. Not just for kids, either.
Right. No, I know they've done... After hours stuff for adults, and then it's always all ages.
Body painting.
Yeah. But this is the first thing we've done there. So Molly and I will be helping with the build, and then we're going to be emceeing this Monster Smash when it happens Friday morning.
Yeah.
Judging a Book, Phil 10, the Conspiracy Panel, Geeks Without God. I'm only on one panel this year that isn't like a performance panel. I was a little disappointed.
I didn't actually sign up for any, and it wasn't intentional. It just kind of ended up that way.
I told them I was interested in. They said, "Oh, you can be on a max of 8 panels." So I was like, "Cool." I gave them like 10 things in order that I was interested in, and I'm on one panel.
And we're on it together. It's the Venture Brothers panel.
Yeah, Venture Brothers season 6, which I'm super down to talk about.
I'm only technically on two panels.
Yeah.
I am on Zombies Run, and I am on the Venture Brothers panel with you. Everything else I'm doing is performances.
Yeah.
But a big thing I'm discovering is Mars needs women, so like being a chick who's funny and you know doesn't and it's kind of up for anything. Gets you on a lot of stuff.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's like when people are saying, "Hey, we need funny women." It's like your name comes up because you're really funny.
Well, thank you for that, but it's hard because it's hard to feel like, oh, I'm a woman who's funny, not I'm funny, and then we need women. Oh, okay. Here's a funny. You know, I don't know.
It's not because, I mean, speaking personally, I've made this decision before. It's like, it's not because you aren't as funny as the guys. It's because people tend to think about the guys.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't think about the women.
Oh,
and
I know.
So it's that attempt to go, you know what? I mean, with SmackDown every year, we've got the four guys that are standard, you know, because Chris Jones, Joseph Scrimshaw, Tim Uren, Kelvin Hatley. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all funny, funny people.
Yeah.
But there are four guys that are always on the panel.
Yeah.
Which means we're typically looking for women just because, holy shit, we've got four funny guys on the panel already.
Yep.
We need funny women.
Yeah.
So, speaking of which, SmackDown this year is Transportation Annihilation.
Ooh.
It is...
Rise of the Machines.
It is the Rise of the Machines. And we've got... friends of the show, Barb Abney and Shaz Steitler.
Nice.
As our guests, along with Darren Doctorman, who is a returning guest of honor at the convention this year, who we started SmackDown because him and Robert Meyer Burnett and their friends did Starship SmackDown at the San Diego Comic-Con, and we saw it, and we're like, you know what? We're going to do this.
Yeah.
And we did it. And we completely changed how they do it.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is the first time one of the people that originated this SmackDown concept is actually going to be on a panel. So we'll see how he likes it.
Cool.
We got to get moving. But I want to mention Friday at 5 p.m. we have a Vermin update panel where I am being told we should have a either completely done or mostly done episode one.
That's great.
So we're going to be able to air episode one at the convention a year after we launched the Kickstarter. So
very cool.
That's pretty cool. I'm doing my first ever reading that makes me super nervous. So please come and laugh and think
when is that
I'm interesting. That's Saturday at 11 a.m. on the 22nd floor. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I'll be there with Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe, Pablo, and he will be entertaining no matter what I do. So... good for him.
That's great.
And the Know-It-All cast, which we started at Die Laughing, me and Andrea Wilkins and Suzanne Becker, we are going to do, basically, we're going to try it at Convergence. We'll be in the Crown Plaza.
Sure.
Doing that at 12:30 on Saturday, so that'll be exciting. I'll do my reading, and then I'll have to get onto a bus and get over to the Crown Plaza as fast as possible. And Art Impossible, which is a Sunday panel I do with Dawn Krasnowski and a bunch of artists from the convention. We basically come up with fast challenges, sometimes a half an hour, sometimes only 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the artists have to draw something based on that challenge.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
It's really a cool experience. And we get a bunch of different artists in there and they come up with really interesting stuff. So I can strongly say come to that. And then also before opening ceremony, we have Big Fun Radio Fun Time, and that features a few friends of the show like Wendy Bowlesby and Christopher Jones and, of course, our good friend Charles Hubble.
Yeah.
We have not had on the show in a while. And Charles,
no, we haven't.
We miss you. We should bring you back.
We should.
As well as all the other friends of the show.
Yeah.
Nick,
what else did you have? Because I know you had more.
Yeah. One thing I'm really excited about this year is I have three cosplay costumes set up.
Oh, yeah.
And I scrapped... two ideas I had really late, really close to Convergence, and then added two to replace it because at the last minute I decided that I'm really happy with my beard and mohawk right now, and I don't want to change that.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple's costume with Molly that's I'll be Major Lazer and she'll be Penny.
Hell yeah.
And then I have a costume where I'll be the Ox King from Dragon Ball Z, who if you do a Google image search for Ox King, you will see a picture of my animated doppelganger.
Yeah, it looks just like Nick. We should put that in the show notes. Yeah. It's crazy.
And then my third costume is a little ambitious. It is Zangief from Street Fighter.
Oh, Zangief.
And I painted a pair of boots. I made some cuffs, and I got some trunks with yellow.
He's got lace, a CCR flag or USSR flag.
USSR flag to wear as a cape.
You're a bad guy. But yeah. You're not bad guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
That's
going to
be great.
It's going to be awesome. I'm really excited for him.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I'm also doing costume Star Butterfly from Star vs. the Forces of Evil, but I'm really excited. Nick and I actually wrote Closing Ceremonies this year, not the sketch part, but like the whole Closing Ceremonies, the interactions between Connie and the host Barb Abney and all that. We wrote all that, and it's pretty funny, and I'm really excited to see it.
I'm
excited to go to Closing Ceremonies and see it.
Yeah,
awesome. Well, I wrote the Closing Ceremony sketch, so...
Oh, perfect. Look at that. It's a Geeks Without God Closing Ceremonies.
Without God Closing Ceremonies. So
behind the scenes.
Yeah.
behind the scenes. All right, so we got to go on to five questions.
Five questions.
So we hope we do see it. Convergence, come ask us for a badge room, and please come and watch our live podcast recording. We'd love to see you there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And five questions. Molly, where are they coming from?
They are coming from, I believe it's Jim Fitzsimmons, but it's spelled Fitzsimmons, so it could be either way.
Probably Fitzsimmons.
He says, I've just started listening to your podcast. I met Nick and Tim at the Minnesota Atheist radio show many months back.
Oh, yeah.
As part of that Minnesota Atheist podcast roundup. And now I'm listening. Yeah. I have my answers to the five questions, and I'd like to weigh in on the mini geek debate.
Ooh,
okay.
So five answers.
Question number one, what is the movie that you will stop and watch anytime it's on?
I had a difficult time thinking of an answer to this one until I found myself stopping to watch for the second time in as many weeks, Sleuth from 1972.
Oh, that's a good movie.
It's a star-studded, wink, wink, if you know the movie, you'll get the wink, wink, acting tour de force. Watching the actors verbally joust with each other is so enjoyable, I always just stop flipping channels and watch.
There's only two actors, that's why it's wink, wink.
I gotcha.
Okay.
I don't know it. I've never seen it. Question two, what's your geekiest or most prized possession?
My Shogun Warrior collection.
Shogun Warrior!
I have four of them. Dragon, Gaiking, Mazinga, and Raiden. They are the coolest toys ever. 2 foot tall and somewhat poseable, made of brightly colored plastic. They shoot missiles, stars, and fists, and throw axes. They're so cool. I blogged about them here if you're interested.
Dope.
Okay, that's we gotta awesome. Do the link. All right, question number three. What supernatural or mythical being do you wish was real?
I can't think of any other all-powerful being who could easily smite in the most horrendously painful way possible any mere mortal he wishes, but will tolerate being treated mostly as an annoyance. Can you guess? It's Q from Star Trek and the Next Generation.
Huh.
And just the John Delancey Q. The other Q weren't as fun. The God of the Bible could have learned a thing or two about tolerance from Q.
Huh. So question four, say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem that humanity now faces?
Scientific ignorance.
Ah.
How much everyday bullshit would be eliminated if everyone just had a good grounding in scientific thinking? That's a good answer.
Like, you know, when Donald Trump stands up and says, oh, by the way, there's no drought in California.
See? Yeah.
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 And people mm-hmm. buy that.
I'm down with that answer.
That's a really good one.
And number five, what is your favorite quote?
From Monty Python's Life of Brian. Brian, you're all different. Mob, yes, we are all different. Man, I'm not. Somehow I've always identified with that man. Now I'd like to give you my sides of the mini geek debate. I'll attempt to be brief. Marvel versus DC. Marvel, enough said. Star Trek versus Star Wars. Star Trek. Not including the numerous books and comics for both, which I haven't read, Star Trek has given us the most time and understanding of their characters. We admire many of the characters of Star Wars, but Star Trek is family. Space versus ocean. Space! Space exploration offers the chance of finding intelligent life because there's bugger all down here on Earth. Batman versus Superman. Batman. Much like Batman, I'm not fond of Boy Scouts. Batman versus Captain America. Batman. Same reason. Favorite Doctor. Christopher Eccleston. It wouldn't be fair to choose one from the original series because I really only watched Tom Baker. I haven't watched enough of Peter Capaldi to choose him. I do really like Matt Smith. He's a very close second. I like David Tennant, but his acting style is way too teeth-gnashy when he's angry. He almost literally chews the scenery. But Eccleston has, as Nick put it, that quality of having seen some bad shit go down. Yeah. That makes him my favorite. Board tabletop games versus video games. Board games. I suck ass at video games. TARDIS versus DeLorean. TARDIS. Sure, it's difficult to control when the plot demands it, and DeLoreans look cool, but it's bigger on the inside. Come on!
That's a fair argument.
Best Star Trek captain? Picard. Because of this. And then there's a video. Picard is my captain. I know this was lengthy. Thank you for indulging me. Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons.
Awesome.
All right, Jim. Thank you. If you would like to answer our five questions, you can send an email to 5questions@geeksithoutgod.com. You could answer the mini geek debates, although, you know, if you do that, we'll probably just have to do your answers, and that'll be the entire episode. So, you can also go find the Mini Geek Debate episode and just post your answers there, too. But
yeah.
And if you send them in, we'll read them. I mean, we just read them, right? We totally read them.
Yep.
So thank you so much for that. I'm going to remind you, we've got the Patreon campaign still going.
Yeah.
People who are on our Patreon campaign got to listen to this episode days at least before you did.
Yeah, they did.
On average, episodes are going up, you know, like 1.5 weeks, 2 weeks before they go up. It's been pretty cool.
So that's a pretty big deal, and we are getting close to our first goal, which is going to allow us to start producing some more content.
You can help us get to the goal.
Yeah, yeah. We're also pushing towards that $100 goal, which will help us get new recording equipment, which will make a big deal. Which is a big deal because we've started doing these remote recordings, which is great, and we've got some more of them coming up. It gives us a lot more opportunities for who to get as guests.
Yep.
But the better equipment we have, the better those episodes are going to sound. So.
And that's a gift for you.
That's
we don't listen to these.
Because we heard them before.
Yeah, we lived it.
I've heard them twice by the time they get posted. So anyway, we hope we do see you at Convergence if you're there. We hope you have a great time at Convergence. Tell us what you did at Convergence in the comments. Tell us about your cosplay. Show us pictures of your Geek Without God cosplay. So I want somebody to cosplay us.
No.
Wow, that's hilarious. Crazy.
Terrifying.
Oh my God.
Okay, anyway, thanks so much for listening. We have been Geeks Without God. We'll see you at the con.
Bye.
If you do come to Vilification Tennis at Convergence, please remember, it's extremely offensive.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God.
You don't want the last bit of this because I'm going to dump it in the sink. That's fine. And you're going to drink it. All right.